Open up first off to Mark chapter 4. We'll be there just briefly. If you remember, Sunday morning, the Lord was reminding us of some things, and the essence of the message was, don't let Satan stop you. What we meant by that was, don't let him get a foothold. Don't let him come in and work a work in your life that can pull you away from what God's trying to do. And in Mark chapter 4, if you look in verse 14, Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. But in verse 17, it talked about that affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. And then in verse 19, it talks about the cares of this world. And we touched on those briefly, how that those are things, using those as illustrations, those are things that Satan would try to use against us in some way, shape, or form to mess us up and get us pulled away from what God's trying to do in our lives. Well, God's going to, tonight He wants to take this a little bit further and show us some more things in Scripture. Give us a little bit of insight in the area of spiritual warfare and identify some things for us concerning this because, and I will say this, by the time we're finished tonight, there's a really good chance that maybe every person in this room, either personally or secondhand, meaning you know somebody who's going to be able to relate to this message one way or the other. So at this point, turn over to Luke chapter 11. Now we're going to point out some specific things in what we're going to read here today. And when we get to a certain section of it, we're not going to go into great detail because when we get to this certain part, the Lord kind of pulled this out and He said, and I want to show you something in this and help you to understand something that's been mistaught for so many years in the body of Christ. Mistaught from the perspective of it's not been, say, completely taught. Only a portion of it has been shared. And it's not that the portion that was shared was terribly incorrect. It's just that there's more involved than what's been taught. So here in Luke chapter 11, in verse 14, it tells us that Jesus was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. Now, here's what we have. There was a person. This person had a devil. This devil was manifesting itself through this person in the form of muteness, meaning the person couldn't speak. Jesus cast this devil out. And once this devil was cast out, this person was able to speak. And the people marveled at this. They were amazed. Now, it doesn't say that there was any great demonstration when this devil was cast out. Remember the man that brought his son to Jesus and the devil caused that boy to fall down and foam at the mouth and all? Well, it doesn't say in here that there was any kind of real demonstration like this. And I personally don't believe that there was any kind of physical something other than Jesus saying, come out of him, you foul spirit, or something along those lines, and this devil comes out. But we know one thing, the people knew for sure that a devil had been cast out. The reason we know that is because in verse 15 it says, but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others tempting sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, there's a word of wisdom, or a word of knowledge, he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against it, a house, falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I cast, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Now, we're not going to do line upon line through all of this, but we're going to point some things out that are very important. We found out that medically speaking, there was a person in the group who had a condition. The person was mute. The doctors at the time obviously couldn't figure out what the problem was. Well, we know what the problem was. There was a devil that was causing this thing to happen. Jesus cast this devil out. Now, it's very important to keep in mind that this devil was manifesting itself in this man's body as some kind of an affliction. All right? You can call it a sickness if you want or whatever, but a physical affliction that was hindering this man from leading a normal life. Jesus cast the devil out, and the man spoke. From a medical standpoint, we would say the man was healed. Because if the people that were there, if somebody hadn't heard the discourse, if they hadn't heard Jesus say, "Come out of him, you foul, dumb spirit," or whatever. If they hadn't heard him say that, if somebody, say, were back in the crowd, and they knew that man had never spoken before, and then all of a sudden they hear him speaking, praising God and thanking God for him being able to speak, if they hadn't heard that the devil was cast out, they might have turned to a friend and say, "Wow, I can't believe it. Joe got healed. He's speaking. He couldn't talk before, but he got healed. Did you see that? Do you hear him? He's talking now." So from a medical perspective, somebody might have come along and said, "Well, this man was healed of his muteness." We know that that healing was a result of a devil being cast out that was producing something that appeared as an affliction in the man's body. Jesus cast him out. Then he was accused of casting devils out by the power of Satan. And Jesus said, "Boy, are you guys messed up." Look what he says here in verse 17. "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand?" Then he says, "If I with the finger of God," in verse 20, "cast out devils, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." In other words, I'm operating according to the principles of the kingdom of God, and the principles of the kingdom of God say that a person doesn't have to remain demonized or sick or afflicted in any way, shape, or form. He says in verse 21, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." Now let me ask you something. The man that was mute, was he able to cast the devil out by himself? Well, obviously not. He might not even have known he had a devil, truth of the matter be known. He just knew he couldn't talk. But he wasn't able to free himself. You say, "Well, Brother Martin, how do you know that?" Because he would have if he could have, but he didn't. It took Jesus to come along and recognize what the problem was and deal with it. So this man was held captive. And Jesus said in verse 22, "When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils." Jesus obviously was stronger than the devil that was keeping that man bound. He overpowered that devil, and he took from that devil's goods, if you will. Then Jesus said in verse 23, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." If you're for me, you're for me. If you're against me, you're against me. Now, this passage we just read, let me kind of jump ahead a little bit. This short passage here, these few verses, prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that Satan is not going to come along and work a miracle in someone's body to make it look like they're healed. Some of you, if you're like me, you've heard teaching along that line. Well, you know, Satan just makes somebody look like they're healed when they're really not healed. Excuse me. You're either healed or you're not. Are you with me? I mean, you don't fake healing. It's just not there. If you're mute, you can't talk. You can't fake talking when you're mute. Okay? Jesus said, "A house divided against itself, it can't stand. A kingdom divided against itself can't stand." In other words, Satan's not going to come along and work a miracle in your body just to make you think you're healed. It doesn't work that way. This goes against doctrine that is taught, and you're going to understand that doctrine in just a few moments. Jesus said, he that's with me gathers, he that's not with me scatters. In other words, if you're with Jesus, you're going to be working healing. If you're not with Jesus, then you're going to be working sickness. He's identifying the fact that God is the source of healing. Satan is the source of destruction. Now look what he says in the very next verse. 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, stop right there. What just happened? An unclean spirit was cast out, was he not? This unclean spirit was manifesting itself in the area of muteness. The man couldn't speak. Jesus said, now, and here's where we're really headed tonight. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, again, we're not going to line upon line this, but the Lord was giving me some, he was showing me some things in these three verses, 24 through 26, and he wants me to share with you tonight. It goes right along with what we heard this past Sunday morning. He says, this unclean spirit gets cast out. He says, I'm going to go back where I came from. He shows up. He's fine. You know, things are different. Things are so different that he by himself is incapable of doing what he had done before. If he had been capable of doing that, he wouldn't have had to go out and find seven other more wicked than himself to help him attack. Are you seeing this? The man by himself, or the demon by himself, wasn't powerful enough to go back and do this himself all alone. He had to get some help. He got seven others more wicked than himself. And they attacked. And now Jesus says, the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now here's the point that the Lord was making to me in all this. And I'm telling you, this is, for some folks, this is going to be an eye-opener. The devil got cast out. He can't go back and do what he wanted to by himself. He's got to get some help. So he goes and he finds seven others. Now, there's a specific reason why he went to get seven others. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. If you want to leave a marker here in Luke, we might come back to it. I'm not sure. But turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 27, it says, you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, which we know corresponds with the ministry of the evangelist, then gifts of healings, which we know from past study corresponds to the ministry of the pastor, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now look at this again. You've got apostles, you've got prophets, you've got teachers, you've got miracles, you've got gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. How many is that? That's eight. The unclean spirit went and got how many to help him? Seven plus one is eight. Here's what the Lord was showing me in this. You know how typically, when back over there in Luke chapter 11 is taught, or if you've heard it taught the way I've heard it taught, it's gone something like this. The devil was cast out, man got healed. Well, this devil, he goes and he gets seven others more wicked than himself to come and help him out because he can't do this by himself. And the way that it's taught, or the way that I've heard it taught, it's something like this. That devil comes back to try to make that person sick of the same sickness from which they had been healed. And not only to make them sick, but also to make them sicker than they had been the first time. And that's pretty much how the teaching stops right there. Now, that's partially correct. However, the Lord said, it's much worse than that. It's not just a matter of trying to get somebody re-sick or to attack them with an affliction again. He said, this devil which manifested itself in the area of a physical affliction went out and got seven more to help. He said, those seven more represent a full, total onslaught against everything that could be ministered in that person's life in the body of Christ. He said, it's not just a matter of trying to make that person sick again. He said, the issue is this. See, please keep in mind, we're thinking in terms, or we're thinking from the viewpoint of people who are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. We are not thinking with the minds of demons, okay? From a demonic standpoint, try to imagine being a devil and not having the life of God on the inside, not having access to the mind of Christ, not being filled with the Holy Spirit, not having the anointing of God operating on the inside of you. Many times, the way certain things are taught, it comes across as though Satan is like God and devils are like God. They can read your thoughts. They know all of your intentions. In fact, we even had some people, one of the tests, in the Bible college, one of the questions on one of the tests was something along the line, you know, Satan can read your mind or something like that. And a lot of people answered yes. Satan is not omniscient. Listen, he can't read your mind. All right? Now, that's a doctrine that some people teach. He can't read your mind. His devils can't read your mind. The sick devil gets cast out. He was assigned to that person for the purpose of inflicting a sickness. Well, guess what? He got shut down. He never got relieved of his assignment. Now, listen closely to this. He never got relieved of his assignment, but he's already been overthrown. Now he needs some help. He goes and he gets seven others, more wicked than himself, and he says, now, guys, look, you remember I was over there in Joe and he couldn't talk because that was the work I was working in him? And they say, well, yeah, what are you doing here? This man, I got cast out. Well, go back. I can't. I got cast out. Listen to me. I got cast out. If I could just go back on my own and do what I was doing before, I would never have been cast out. Do you understand something more powerful than me? Cast me out. I need help. So the seven join with the one and they go back for the attack. God said, here's how it works. Yes, the one that was manifesting itself in sickness would like to cause this person to be sick again. But before, now listen to this. You're going to get some insight to warfare right here. Before that can happen, that person has to be convinced their healing wasn't real. Because as long as they believe their healing was real, they're going to stand upon the reality of what God did in their life. This is all part of walking by faith, not by sight. The sick devil couldn't do this alone. So he had to go get some help. Remember, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, just those five. Regardless of the helps, governments, and the tongues, just those five. Those five in the body of Christ, part of what they're supposed to do is what? Declare the word of the Lord. What do you think the counterparts would come to do? Declare the lies of the devil. What did Jesus say about Satan? He's a liar. He's the father of lies. They've got to come back and do something to get that person to start believing anything other than God's Word. If they can do that, then guess what? Little sick devil's got a really good chance of moving back in and finishing off the work he started. What work was that? To kill that person. To destroy that person. To tear that person apart. Or to keep that person in a bondage that would inhibit them or prohibit them from being able to fulfill what God had called them to do. God began sharing with me how this isn't just a matter of somebody having a recurrence of a sickness. He said, the body of Christ has missed the fact that once you've had an encounter with God, Satan doesn't back off. Just because you've been born again, just because you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, just because you've received a miracle, it doesn't mean the devil stops. When you got delivered from something, all right, think along with me here. Just think along with me. How many of you in here have ever had a move of God in your life? All right, let's start off with something like, maybe you were kind of like me. You were born again for a long time, but you didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, or any of that. Then one day, all of that changed. Did you come across any Christians that tried to tell you what you had experienced really wasn't of God? Maybe it was, you know, emotional hype of the service. Where do you think that came from? Let me illustrate it like this. And I'm not trying to tell you this is exactly how it worked. This is just to try and give you a picture. You had a little devil on your shoulder for years, and that little devil was saying, this stuff is not for today, it is not for today, it is wrong, it's of the devil, it's on and on and on. Okay? You believed that. Then somebody with an anointing of God came along and began sharing things with you, and all of a sudden, the anointing on their words was beginning to penetrate and pierce through the darkness of those lies. You're starting to think, well, now wait a minute. Maybe there is more. Maybe there's something to all of this. Then the day comes to where your suspicions become a reality. Well, that little devil, if he had been powerful enough to keep you from experiencing what you experienced, you'd have never experienced what you experienced. But, using Luke 11 as an illustration, he got cast out. He's got to find some help. You think it's a coincidence that somebody else came along your path professing the name of a person born again with whom we're going to spend eternity? Do you think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden within a few days they come across your path and said something to you like it's not real or that was just emotions or whatever? Now see, not everybody in here may have experienced it like that, but those of you who did experience something along that line where somebody came along to refute what had happened to you, where do you think that came from? Do you honestly believe that was God sending that person along your path to try and confuse you? Now, here's what's sad. In some cases, it works. And the people can actually begin to think it wasn't real. I've encountered folks like that in the body of Christ. Likewise, when it comes to, say, a healing or a miracle, how many times have you encountered somebody, or maybe even you yourself, you received a healing manifested in your body? Somebody comes along and they begin to question whether or not you were really healed. They begin to say things to you like, well, I know you look healed, but, you know, are you really healed? Mister, I couldn't talk. There wouldn't have been a whole lot of debate on that one, okay? But other things, some of other people, some of what maybe you've gone through, and all of a sudden some folks come along and they're trying to dismiss what happened to you. Where do you think that comes from? It's not just a matter of somebody who doesn't believe. The issue is, why don't they believe? Why would they question your healing? It's because they're deceived. It's because something's been happening in their lives to keep them deceived in that area of healing. Here's an example. You know you're healed. You know you're healed. You know you got a miracle from God. Even the doctors maybe. Yeah, you got a healing, a miracle healing. Never seen anything like it in our lives. Then some dingling comes along. You're talking with some other folks and dingling's with you. And dingling says, oh yeah, he's in remission. Where'd that come from? I mean, dingling's supposed to be a Christian. Profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's something else involved. You're under a spiritual attack ongoing, or you're experiencing a spiritual attack. We don't even catch on. You're believing God. Maybe something in the area of your finances. And during a time of prayer, the Lord ministered to you and He spoke to you about a work He was going to do in your life in the area of finances. And you're sharing that with somebody. Then someone else comes along who happens to know the situation, what's going on. And they start saying things like, well, you're going to have to file bankruptcy. You know that, don't you? I mean, you just can't keep going like this. What are you going to do? You're going to have to mortgage, you know, get like a fifth mortgage on your home? In other words, someone comes along and begins to refute the very thing that you receive from God. These things aren't accidents. But because the naysayers don't come into your presence with horns and a pointy tail, we miss the fact that seven others more wicked than himself have engaged in battle. Because you have taken a step deeper into God through this thing that's happened with you. Let me give you some examples here. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. This kind of a thing, it is all through what Paul wrote, and even what Peter wrote, and what Jude wrote. This kind of thing is all through there. This stuff of getting people off track. And it usually comes in the body of Christ. Listen, going back to the thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit, you didn't believe in it, then all of a sudden you believe in it, you experienced it, you have your prayer language. If someone outside the body of Christ were to come to you and tell you, well, that's stupid, that doesn't make any sense, you wouldn't pay a bit of attention to it because those people aren't even Christians. But it's the people inside the body of Christ that are going to have the most effect on you. It's not the attacks from without, it's the attacks from within. Now, we don't like the idea of even thinking that people in the body of Christ could be motivated by the devil. Well, folks, it happens all the time. Anybody who stands up, and listen, I grew up in this kind of stuff, but anybody who stands up and tells you that tongues are of the devil or the gifts are of the devil, they are in some way, shape, or form motivated by the devil to say that. That doesn't mean they're demon-possessed. It just means that they have fallen into a trap of they've given heed to a doctrine that didn't come from God. And because they've given heed to that, they stand up and they preach it and they teach it. In Romans, almost the entire book of Romans was written to clear up deceptive doctrine. In the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you can see it all through. There's that thread. It just runs through almost all of those books in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. In Galatians, we're just going to show you one verse here. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? And then he goes on and he talks some more about that. But here's a statement, all right? These folks in Galatia had an experience with God, but somebody's come along and begun preaching and teaching to them false doctrine. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, he tells them, really almost the whole fifth chapter, it goes right along with this, But in verse 6, he says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Now again, we're just pulling out isolated verses here, not going through and teaching them all, but we're just using these for illustration to show you that Paul is addressing the very same thing I'm sharing with you tonight. How serious this is. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." In verse 8, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." In verse 20, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" In other words, why have you let somebody come in and deceive you? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." In other words, these people were going through some rough times, and some wrong stuff was being taught to them concerning why they were going through all of this. Look over in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. We'll just look at verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means." And you could start in verse 1 and read through much more of this, but we just want to see that one point. "Let no man deceive you by any means." Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 3, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Now look over in Titus chapter 1. Verse 5. "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And what's interesting, when you go through Titus, the things that Paul talks about here with Titus is a short, short book, but it is an extremely heavy, heavy book with some powerful warnings on the, contained within it. Now, I only shared those few with you. If you go back and you begin to read everything that Paul wrote, that Peter wrote, that James wrote, read what Jude wrote, you're going to see over and over and over again within the body of Christ, Christians were being deceived and led astray by wrong doctrine that was creeping in. Well, where did this come from? Well, Jesus is telling us back over there in Luke chapter 11. He said, once you deal with one problem area, you cast the devil out. Satan does not sit back and do nothing. He works to counterfeit everything that God has in operation in the body of Christ. I'll put it like this. Satan will try to send across your path his apostles, his prophets, his evangelists, his pastors, his teachers. I'm only using those terms for descriptive purposes. But he'll try to send those kind of people across your path to get you completely distracted off of what it is that God has done in your life. And I'll give you some examples here. Examples that I'm aware of. I know a man who, he grew up in particular religion. Then he got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, this guy was on fire for God. I mean, serving Jesus. He was really, he actually started getting involved in a particular ministry. And then all of a sudden, something happened. He no longer believed what he had experienced was real. He left the full gospel church he was a part of and went and joined a church that essentially taught against almost everything that he knew other than you must be born again. And he was in that church for quite some time, 2, 3, 4 years, before finally he got delivered. I know of another situation, which is even more astounding to me. There's a man who, he was with Dave Roberson for a number of years. He went to Dave as, very ignorant, naive, and so forth. And he said, "Look, I see things in you that I don't see in my own life. And I want to have this kind of walk. I want to have this kind of relationship. And so Dave began working with him and mentoring him and so forth. Man, this guy grew spiritually. He began to develop. He began to spend hours and hours praying in tongues, edifying himself. That anointing was being released. He got to the point where he actually at times would minister in Pastor Dave's church. And the power of God was there. The anointing of God would manifest itself. It was absolutely phenomenal, the track that this man was on. Earlier this year, I heard from someone who knows, this man is now out preaching in churches that tongues are of the devil, that this stuff is not of God, that it's false, that it's wrong. Where does this come from? How is that possible? How is it possible for anybody to experience something like that and then turn around and stand up and say, it's all of Satan? When you see the manifested power of God, the only way that you can justify it is to try and turn around and say, well, it must have been Satan manifesting his power to cause these things to happen that I saw happen in the services. When I ministered, it must have been Satan's power that caused those things. I don't know how else you justify it, but yet Jesus in Luke chapter 11 completely refutes that, and he says, no, Satan can't do these things because he would be divided against himself. When I grew up in church, if people got that goofy, we'd say things like, well, you know, they must not have been born again to start with. It just must not have been real. That doesn't hold water. Once you go deeper into God, you understand about spiritual warfare and deception and all that. You can't play those games. What Jesus warned about in Luke chapter 11 came to pass in these examples. And some of you here tonight, you know of people who have gone through things to where they had an undeniable experience with God. They knew it, you knew it, everybody and their brother knew it. And all of a sudden, they start saying goofy stuff, weird stuff. It's like they got drunk or something, or got a bump on the head, or something happened. Something happened in their life, and you can't figure out what it was. This is what's happened. The devils that were operating in their life found themselves in a position of no longer being able to successfully operate. Were they finished? No. Had Satan said, well, now, you know, you guys, you know, let that be a lesson to you. Don't mess with God. Now, you just come over here and sit down, and you just do your best from now on. Just wait for the lake of fire. No. Their assignment wasn't over. Just because you get a healing doesn't mean a sick devil has quit. Just because you got born again doesn't mean a deceiving devil, or just because you got filled with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean deceiving devils have stopped. But they realize if they were keeping you down at this level and you've gone beyond that level, they can't do what they were doing before, so they've got to go out and get some help. Trust me, they already know they can't overthrow God. They tried. It didn't work. They know that. So the next best thing is to come along and through their version of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and so forth, through their version of that, do something to get you deceived into, I'll say it this way, rejecting what God has done in your life. That's how these things work. Now to bring this home. Every one of you in here have had experiences with God. Some of our experiences have been the same. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Beyond that, we've each had different experiences. Some of us may have had healings, but our healings were different. Some of us may have had deliverances from things, but our deliverances were different. But every one of us in here, we have had a touch from God in some way, shape, or form. Everything's going fine, but I can guarantee you this. The attack isn't over. If the devil can't, along with the one plus the seven, all right, if they can't get you to stop believing and being filled with the Holy Spirit and tongues and gifts and all that, if they can't get you to stop believing in salvation and whatever, if they can't get you to stop believing there, trust me, they're going to look for another area of attack to try and feed you some kind of wrong doctrine to get you messed up. Perfect example is what Paul wrote about in more than one place here in Scripture, about Spirit-filled Christians being deceived, going back under the law and trying to fulfill the ordinances that the law demanded. And Paul, in essence, said, what? Are you nuts? You're born again. You don't have to live that way anymore. I'm Paul, super Jew. If anybody knows this, I know it. Likewise, this explains why it is people that you thought were normal all of a sudden start saying stupid, dumb things. And when you ask them to try and support it with Scripture, they change the subject, get defensive, don't want to talk about it, talk like you're the one being critical, closed-minded, etc., etc. Why? Because there is a demonic power in operation in their life. I didn't say they're possessed. Didn't say that. But there's something going on because a person... Remember what we read about following after Christ, not the rudiments of the world, things like that. A person who truly, genuinely is following after Christ, that person is going to be teachable. But at the same time, they're not going to get off on wild tangents. For us, and really anybody listening to this by tape, Paul said, when I pray in the Spirit, my spirit is praying. John said, there is an anointing that abides within that will work to protect you against deception. Jude said, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, we can come up with weird doctrines just by reading the Bible. A lot of groups have done that. But I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot continually pray in tongues over and over, hour after hour after hour, day after day. You cannot continue to pray in tongues and not eventually come in direct contact or come face to face with a wrong doctrine, a root of something that you believed on the inside, because the Holy Spirit's going to bring that to light. He's going to say, now this is wrong. We've dealt with a lot of stuff, but now it's time to deal with this. Trust me, you don't get weird doctrines from the Holy Ghost. He won't teach you weird stuff. But I promise you, you've got an unholy ghost who wants to try and deceive you at every chance he can. It's those spirits that try to help that first one. That doesn't mean that every one of us has had devils cast out. I don't want you to think I'm implying that. This is just an illustration. Guard yourself, like Jude talked about. He said, you've got to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto you. How do I do that? Well, you build yourself up on that most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Here in these end times, you're going to hear about some weird teachings and doctrines coming out of the body of Christ. Spirit-filled sector. I shared with you some things that have come out. You're going to hear more and more weird teachings that are going to come out from the body of Christ. These are things that have been prophesied. These are things that God has warned us about. And I'm telling you right now, protect yourself by praying in the Spirit. Protect yourself by allowing God, through the ministry of the Holy Ghost inside of you, to begin to strengthen you and build you up on the truth of God's Word. Don't take for granted the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Don't take this gift that He's given to you and put it on a shelf and never utilize it, because you're just setting yourself up for deception. I pray it won't happen. I pray it will never happen to any of us in here, anybody listening to this by tape, but I do know this. The potential is there for every one of us to be deceived. the potential. We guard ourselves not by attending this church or any other church. We guard ourselves not by listening to me. We guard ourselves by staying in constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit who's been sent to lead and guide us into all truth. That is how we protect ourselves against this kind of deception. Because I'm going to tell you what, it'll sound good, mighty good, but the Holy Spirit, that anointing within, is going to flip that little red light and say, it sounds good, it looks good, but it's not from me. Stay away from that stuff. Run for the holy hills. Pray in the Spirit and protect yourself against this stuff that Satan would try to do against you to pull you away from what God has done in your life. Would you please stand? It's not just about Satan trying to make you have a relapse of some kind of a sickness. It's about getting you distracted from God, getting you off track on what you believe, pulling you away, like I said, from what God's done in your life. That's what he wants to do. And quite honestly, it really doesn't matter to him if he makes you sick again or not. It doesn't matter to him. As long as he can get you off center, that's all he cares about. And in the process, if he can make you sick again, that's like icing on the cake for him. But God's given us a way to protect ourselves. Praise God.